Yes, it is. Thank you, Father. Glory be to God. We praise you, Father. We thank you, Lord, for leading us and guiding us tonight in this wonderful, wonderful fellowship with my brothers and sisters. And I thank you, Lord, for your encouraging words. And I thank you, Father, that everybody here is part of the bride. And I praise you, Father, for placing it in their hearts to confess it every day. Yes, I am part of the bride because God, or the man-child, whichever one, or both. That's right. The man-child comes out, the bride. Thank you, Father, for doing that in all of us and putting the faith in us to believe it also. Thank you for this wonderful time that you've come in. Thank you for the warnings you've given us. Thank you for the provisions you've given us. Thank you, Lord, for everything that you have made available to us, Father God. And all we need to do is walk in it. And I praise you for that, Father. Lord, I thank you for bringing down all of the enemies of your kingdom, enemies of your bride, enemies of your man-child ministry. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you're teaching us how to walk this spiritual life that is actually very awesome, Lord. And I see things that I never thought possible before this last few months. And Father God, I just thank you for placing it in us to be discerners and have lots of your wisdom in us in the days ahead. And I thank you, Father, for your gifts that are going to be prevalent amongst your bride and your man-child ministry. And I praise you, Lord, for all that you're going to accomplish this night in this fellowship, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I know that even when we're not together, we're together in heart and spirit, Lord. And I thank you for allowing us that privilege of being brothers and sisters in Christ together. And I praise you, Father, for all you're doing in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Thank you for an open heaven, too, because I know that's done. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Lord, I thank you that Jeff is completely healed. He's completely healed. He doesn't even have a trace of cancer in him at all. Not even a tiny bit. Not near a bit of it. That cancer spirit has gone off of him. And I praise you and I thank you, Lord, and he is thanking you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Father God, I lift up Geneva and all of hers. I see Geneva and let's get the rest. Micah. Is it Micah? Micah, something like that. And all of hers, and we praise you for them, Lord, and we ask and we pray, Father, that they would be a part of this tonight, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask that you free up Isaac so he can come on and be a part of this too, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for not making him so busy, allowing him the time and the freedom to come on and fellowship with like-minded believers as we are with him, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. Lord, I thank you for bringing everybody here that needs to be here, that you want here, that already knows they're going to be here. And I praise you for doing that as well, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Woohoo! Is anybody getting excited about where we are? Hey, Gabe. Hey, Gabe.
You wanted to say hi. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Gabe. Hi, Lana.
Hi.
Glory to God. Hey, buddy. Look at that. Look at that smile. That smile's a mile wide. Glory to God.
Oh, he's so excited.
Who is that over on the other side? Oh, is that Max?
That was Max. He ran off. He's a bit shy, I guess. That gave
up. Hello.
Hey,
hey
nice.
Buddy. Hey, buddy. Oh, my. I love them boys. Glory to God. All right. Love them girls, too.
Gabe is saying hi to the lion. He wanted to point that out. That's Monroe over there. Yeah. Mama, I want to say hi to the lion, he says.
Hello, Gabe. Lion speaking.
Because see, that's the lion. Because hi, lion.
Hi, Gabe.
Yeah. Get that big old smile that boy had. He got a smile on his face most of the time. All right. So does Max. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Pat, go ahead, brother.
I don't have a prayer request. Is anybody else hearing a rattling or a distortion in the audio?
In mine?
No.
I am hearing a distortion.
I heard it especially when Michael was speaking, and there was a rattling or a distortion there. I just wanted to know if anybody else, maybe if no one else is hearing it, then I'll consider it.
I hear it in yours. I hear it in yours. Distortion.
Okay.
You might be overmodulating
your mic. Because I just
heard
it from you. I'm hearing it in yours, though, as well.
Okay, let me fix that.
I wonder if it's a Zoom issue.
No, it could be a microphone. If you go into down there at the bottom where it says mute on your microphone, hit that little up arrow and go down to audio settings, and you'll see the microphone and speaker. Bring the level of the microphone down just a little, and let's see if that doesn't work. All right, I brought mine down. Did that help any? Testing 1, 2, 3.
Well, I'm not able to.
Go down by the icon
for
the microphone. There's an up arrow. Okay. Down at the bottom, it says audio settings. Go into that, and then you'll see where it says where it says microphone and volume of the microphone. Bring it down some, and let's see what that does.
The only problem is I don't have an adjustment.
You don't have an adjustment?
Oh, I see. Never mind.
Yeah. It's a volume. It says volume
on
it.
It's not lit up. All right. Let me get off of mute myself. Maybe that's...
Okay. Yeah, you did. All right. Am I distorted? Am I distorted now? Okay, is it loud enough? Okay, good.
How about mine, Michael? Is it still
much
distorting?
Better. Much better.
Okay, yeah. I had to take it off of, selection that says automatically adjust microphone volume. That was selected, so I couldn't adjust the volume up or down.
Yeah. Okay, come on down a little bit.
Thank
come
you.
On down a little bit more, Pat.
More?
Yeah. Just a little bit.
How about that? Does that work?
It's a little better. It's a little better. It's not quite smooth like it should be. I've got
well,
mine
maybe
down.
Maybe that's just because I'm not smooth.
You're smooth as silk,
how
Pat.
About
go
now?
Ahead. Better. It keeps getting better.
I can't go any lower.
That's good. That's good. That's best. That's good. All right. Now you're smooth as silk.
Thanks.
All right. Anybody else got something they want to talk about? Here comes Joe. Now, here's something I want this to help somebody that's not on here tonight. I've known some people that have been Christians for quite some time and have never brought anyone to Christ. And I understand that because of the fear of rejection and that type of thing. But I'd like to find out from y'all how you started out bringing people to Christ or talking to people about Christ when you talk to them. You understand what I'm saying? And I can go first. I mean, I don't mind. I mean, it was scary at first, you know, just to go ahead and try to do something that you've never done before. But I read in there where it says you need to take the gospel out, where Jesus told us to take the gospel out. And so I just got me a bunch of tracts from, what's that guy's name? Dick Chick. And y'all, anybody ever heard of him? He put out some good handout material. And I bought a bunch of that stuff and took it with me. And I'd just go out and start talking to people. I didn't go to their house and beat on their doors, you know, and ask them if they had a prayer request, that I was out praying for people. I'd ask them out. Or if I saw somebody on the street, I'd just hand them a tract and say, God want me to give you this. And I give it to them, and they take it, and I tell them my testimony. I say, you got time to listen to my testimony? I want to tell you something about what Jesus did for me. And I talk to them about that. That's the way I talk to them. And there's one or two things going to happen. They'll listen to you, or they'll shun you right off the get-go. But you got to have alligator hide when you're out evangelizing like that. You can't let anything get to you. Oh, gosh, that hurts me. I don't know if I can do this. No, I'm just going to the next one, because the next one's going to be the one that God wanted you to talk to. But anyway, that's pretty much my experience has been going out there. And I'll be honest with you, I never had a problem talking to people, strangers even. And that's just... That was my. What are y'all laughing about? Okay, now be careful. Go ahead, Judy.
Yeah, I had some little experience with that. It was a church that I was involved with, that they got on this evangelism kick, and they wanted to, you know, spread the gospel around, you know, this area, this city. And we had like a day planned where everyone met together, and we went out in groups, and I went with this couple. And I knew them both from church. I didn't know him very well, but I knew her. Anyhow, we went out, and it was kind of awkward because there was three of us. But anyhow, I remember going. It was like in a poor section. We all had sections divided up, and it was like a trailer park area section. And we were assigned to, anyhow, we were handing out free Bibles that the church provided. And we were supposed to just, you know, they instructed us, you know, go up there and do the doors, knock on the door, and just, you know, wanted to say, can, you know, we have a Bible for you. Are you interested? Blah, 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 whatever. And then, you know, and then ask them if they wanted us to pray for them about anything. And I was nervous. I don't, you know, I don't do that kind of stuff, but I was nervous. But, you know, I did do it, and it was kind of awkward. And, but I do remember that there were some people that didn't care at all about what we were doing, and made that known. And then I remember one woman, you know, she was just like, yeah, please pray for me. And I can't remember what she asked me to pray for. And I was just like, oh, I don't know how to do this. I was afraid. You know, Lord gave me grace, and I don't remember how I prayed, but I prayed for her, and she said thank you, and she took the Bible and that kind of thing. And it was, you know, God was just, you know, stepping stones, I guess, for me. And then I remember one time, you know, at work, sharing about Jesus with a fellow employee that I really didn't know all that well, but, you know, she was a very nice girl, young woman, but she had never heard of Jesus before. And I just thought, wow, nobody's heard, you haven't heard of Jesus. I thought everyone had heard of Jesus. But she hadn't, but she let me share about him to her. And then she, you know, she thanked me and she goes, thank you. She goes, no one's ever talked to me about Jesus before. So that encouraged me too. And this was at work, and it was kind of weird because it was at work, you know, and I was sitting at my desk, but you know, God gave me a lot of grace to be able to do it. And, again, I was nervous about it, but it was somebody, you know, somebody that, you know, I'm hoping, you know, I'll see her in heaven, she and the family, you know, praise the Lord.
Amen.
I guess it was the first couple times that I remember I was just really kind of nervous and shy about doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
Yeah, if the more you do it, the more at home you feel like, the more comfortable you are with doing it. I did a lot of Ray Comfort stuff too, and boy, that was tricky, but it was good. I enjoyed it. If you know who I'm talking about, you understand the way he evangelized. Okay, Missy, how'd you do it? I'm just going to go down the line here. I ain't going to let you get by without it.
That's a good question. Lots of times I just hand out tracts, you know, or whatever. There's not any particular way. I mean, the first person that I ever led to the Lord was my boy's great grandfather on their dad's side. And I'm pretty sure I've told you all the story before, but it was just, you know, he had been, you know, sick off and on with cancer, you know, here, there, and everywhere at times. And I had the opportunity to take him to doctors and help him out and stuff like that, you know. And I knew that I knew that this particular day was the day that I was going to talk to him and lead him to the Lord. I just knew. I just read this kind of tract kind of thing to him, and you know, he ran, repented, and believed in the Lord, and 10 days after that he passed away. Only like a few days after that he went to the hospital, and then it was a total of 10 days. But I don't know, I never really had like a particular way or whatever that I talk to people about the Lord, you know. It's like, I don't know, just led of the Spirit or whatever, you know. I don't say a whole lot of times, you know. Lots of times it's just a matter of just giving them a tract. Lots of times it's a situation where you don't have a whole lot of time to really say anything to them, but you know, or it's just I give them a tract or whatever, you know.
Yeah. Okay. Praise God.
I'm glad you're talking about this because it really, you know, gets me to stop and think about it, you know, more. You know, I'm always looking for an opportunity to share the Lord with people and stuff, but it seems like most of the people that I come across lots of times, especially when I'm out walking, a lot of them already, you know, seem to think that they're Christians or whatever, you know, or believe that they are.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right. That's good.
A lot to say about it, really.
Yeah.
It's just that I'm like, I'm glad you're talking about this, because it really, I've thought about it lots of times, you know, like, how I would, talk about the Lord, you know, to people, you know, what impresses me with, you know, and I've spoken to my boys, I don't know if they're really saved or not. I know my son Matt, when he was about 8 years old, we were going to a Assemblies of God at the time, and the pastor was up front, and he and it was like during like a special thing that was going on or whatever, and he asked, you know, who all wants to ask Jesus into their heart? You know, it's mostly for like the kids, you know. Well, a lot of kids did, because it's. Anyway, it's very shallow kind of thing, and he went up or whatever, but I don't know. I've never really seen fruit, you know.
Let me remind you of your confession for your family. Always, always say. They're saved, glory to God, because I believe it. And the Lord has already done it in my whole household.
Right.
All of my children and all of my relatives that I've been praying for, my brothers and sisters, they're all saved, glory to God. That's how you keep
right.
them in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah. I know that you have ministry people riding your bike before. Come on and started talking to him. You told me about it.
Yeah.
People in your neighborhood there that you either walk in or ride in your bike, and you stop and talk to them and talk about Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it's like, I kind of like went blank, but yeah, like I've told lots of people about, you know, here and there, you know, about what the Lord's done for me, that he heals, you know, and ask them, you know, if I can pray for them or whatever, but
yeah.
I think like you said, really the best way to go about it is tell them your own experience. You know, your own experiences, the Lord healing or whatever, and that kind of thing.
Yeah.
And,
Amen. I never will forget. I was out going door to door one day in this one neighborhood, and I beat on this guy's door. He came to the door, and I said, I'm just out here, and I'm just thinking about how I could help somebody, and I said, I just want to pray for you if I can. He said, I'm a Baptist, and slammed the door right in my face. I said, okay. He's a churchgoer. I said, all right. And it was in a front neighborhood. Go ahead, Andrew or Ben.
Okay, well, it's mostly been family lately. On the Easter weekend, sister that, you know, that gave me all those letters, sent me an email, not an email, but a text on my phone, and she was talking about the resurrection day and the resurrection Jesus, and everybody's happy. She's a very Catholic person. And then I just, for some reason, texted her back and said, he raised you up with him, you know, as he says in Ephesians. That's the first thing that came to my head, you know, but she never responded to that. The witness goes out very fine. I've witnessed and writing things out and like mostly for holiday time, like in Christmas cards for them. Pray over it, have them look at it, stuff. And there was a time where in the summer I would go biking, and there was this spot that I wanted to go fishing by the river where the O train goes over the river. There's a bridge there, and I would look over from the bike path and I said, that seems like a good spot. And then I would always look, and then one day there was a guy there. So I stopped this time and I went up there and I was asking him, are you here fishing? And he says, no, I'm just looking by the river. And he got in a little bit of a conversation, and I started talking to him about the Lord. I quoted some verses to him about him being a partaker of Christ. If he holds fast the beginning of his confidence, and a partaker of the divine nature. And he seemed very intentive and listening. He was about 10 years older than me. I told him to buy a Bible and look at those verses, and I gave him the addresses and the verses. And that was sort of the end of the conversation. You know, we would talk about other things. I can't really remember everything we got into. And that was the end of that. Of course, the very exciting one was with my son. But that was kind of all set up already. And I tried to remember as many verses about the light that was in his dream. But I can't really remember how that one went. But it was all set up. He was just ready to receive it all. And it was like God set it all up. And it was amazing on how easy and wonderful that one was going. But that's his testimony, and I can't really remember how it goes. I remember at work when there was one guy there, he was a Baptist. But he had a problem. He got his, in high school, he got his girlfriend pregnant. This was years ago. His name was Brent. And he wasn't married. And of course, he would go over, and her parents really didn't like him. And he would say to me, like, it was me and the guy who witnessed to me was witnessing to him. Because we were just doing that together, you know. And we surrounded him on both sides where he was working. And he said, you know, I know about salvation and stuff, but I have this problem. And then I just said, well, why don't you just go out and get married? Marry her, you know. You got someone else you want to marry? You got this lovely child already? And he did end up getting married. I have a picture of him. He got married, and I asked him, he didn't invite me to the wedding, but he invited David, the other guy who was doing the witness, but I was there just kind of praying under my lips for this guy to receive. And he did end up receiving, but he of course was going to his Baptist church. As far as I know, he got saved, and I don't know if he continued in it. And anyway, but they did get married, and after I heard some bad news, though, that she met him this time. I don't know what happened after that. Anyway, I do pray for him when the Lord puts him on my mind. Other than that, you know, when you're new in the Lord, you tend to witness to some people. I don't know if my charismatic brother can say how he's saved, but he needs to bear the fruit, and he needs correction, of course. And Same with my sister. She's kind of this. She needs actually more correction, more help. Anyway, it's not that often. I don't know if it's because I've been rejected a lot, but I remember witnessing to a few people, and one of them even saying, "Well, you know, I never really thought I never really heard it that way before." And I was quoting, I think it was Revelation 3:20, and she said, "I never heard it that she was an atheist. I never really heard it that way before." And I was going, "Well, what do I do now? Do I pray with her or what?" She always is. And that was just before COVID started. So, I guess the only one that really stuck really well with her, and somehow my brother Christopher and I don't know if any other one stuck like this guy. I don't have his phone number or anything. I just remember listening to him. But when I would go on my bike rides, mostly in the summer, I would go down the bike path. There's park benches there. I would sometimes talk to people about the Lord and how they should pursue the Lord. If anything, if the Lord is using me for anything, I hope he's using me to at least draw the people a little closer so that someone might even bring the gospel afterwards to them. But I want to get better at this. I want to be a good witness to people. Because I'm older now, not working, the occasions don't come up as much, but I'm sort of like a home person. Don't go out much. Try to witness to people, and there's interest, but it doesn't go really beyond that. I don't know if people are just being polite with me. Anyway, but praise God and glory to God for whatever drawing or however he can use me to be this witness that he would want me to be. Amen. I'm done there.
Okay, well, the last time I witnessed to somebody, it was my friend Cameron. It was a lot like what Julie was saying. He didn't even know why Jesus went to the cross, the whole thing. And I was like, well, where do I start with this guy? You know, like, first I told him that Jesus was the Son of God and died on the cross so we can bear our sins and so that he can have a relationship and he can live within us and that we can live a holy life through him. And I was really not worried, but just like excited, but also very wary about what I was saying because I didn't want to, I don't know, say something wrong or say something too much. And I think it kind of like, I couldn't put what I was thinking in my head into words, but I was able to tell him that like Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And I don't know. I at least gave him something. And then, you know, it's people always say it's harder to witness to people that you know. And I guess I kind of understand that, but I've only ever witnessed to people that I know. I've yet to go out and, you know, ask people if they know who Jesus is or what he did. And, you know, I'm actually kind of happy that we're talking about this because it's been something that's been on my mind for a while because I don't do that. I don't want to say that I don't want to do that but there's that, what Michael was saying, there's that fear of rejection. And, you know, I never thought that way before, so I know that's a demon spirit. I was always a very outspoken person and didn't care what people thought. So I know that this is a demon spirit that comes upon you. So you can't really let it come upon you. I know we need to be wary when people are completely rejective of it. Like if someone is completely not interested in what you're saying, yeah, don't say anything to them. But I don't know, just I pray that we all have a strong boldness to do this, because we need to be bold in this. He tells us to be bold in this. I think it's somewhere in Romans that we need to be bold in our faith. I think it's chapter 1, verses 17, I think. Could be totally wrong. But Lord Father God, we thank you for the good news that we have. We thank you for the testimonies that we have. Lord Father God, just pave the way for us and open the doors for us, Father, because today is the day and the times are coming. And people are going to have a lot of questions. And they might remember that one guy that told them, and then they might be able to look back on it or whatever, God, whatever you got in store for it, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Magnify it, Lord.
Amen. Yes, Lord, give us great and bold testimonies, Lord. All right, Pat.
We got the Holy Spirit power. Amen.
Amen.
I can't give a testimony of actually bringing people, a person through to salvation or new birth. I've testified a lot. I've back when I was an early Christian. Your text in there, Michael.
I'm sorry.
And so back when I was an early Christian, I went with a group on, you know, I think Wednesday or maybe it's Thursday night, excuse me, in the Baptist church. And this was door knocking night or whatever. We kind of went through phases, but then there was a time when we went out to, we would go out to, basically knock on doors in the neighborhood. I have to say that I was very uncomfortable with that. Excuse me. Not that I'm giving an excuse. I'm giving more of a testimony. But some friends of mine took me out and was going to show me how to do it, so to speak. So I was kind of excited in that concept, because obviously the Lord has given us commandment to go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And but I found the experience at least in those that were guiding me through the process and kind of teaching me, they were, I'm not going to say abusive. That's not the right word I want to use, but they were like a forceful kind of, what's the condition of your soul? You know, you're going to go to hell if you don't, you know, repent, and, you know, various things like that. That approach wasn't fruitful at all, as a matter of fact. And I kind of, it kind of turned me away from that process. I know that there's every denomination or every group, or there's evangelist groups that have specific ways of, you know, leading people through the scripture or the Romans road. And, but quite frankly, I haven't been all that comfortable with those techniques and processes. And I found that, the reason being, I've seen a lot of people, I won't say a lot of people, but I've seen, people that have been so uncomfortable in being approached by, the in your face type of scenario that they simply just agree with you and, you know, bow their head and say the sinner's prayer to get you out the door, you know, that type of thing. So quite honestly, I had to kind of back up a little bit and ask the Lord, you know, how is this done? I mean, there's obvious, ways that God has to do to evangelize through the Spirit. And I know also that people with the gift of evangelism, they have the ability to hit specific points and relative to birth, relative to entering into the kingdom. And they're not so much concerned with the finer details, I guess you might say, of repentance and certain things. I mean, there's a point where they're simply trying to get people to agree with God, agree about their condition, agree for their need for God, and pray and ask God to intervene in their life and to come into their life. There's that certain birthing process where you don't get a whole lot of information. You just they're just moving, I guess, with the Spirit and sensing where that person is at, etc. I don't know that I have that gift, but obviously I have the command, like everybody else, go ye into all the world and make it happen. So I agree with Ben, you know, I certainly want to enter into that process the way God wants me to do it, the way he's created me to preach the gospel, to evangelize, to whatever. So to say that, I kind of pulled back and right or wrong, just learned, I guess, to kind of test the waters to see where a person was at and see if there was any openness in their spirit to talk about these things. And I feel like that I get signals. You get signals from people, whether, you know, if they're open or they're absolutely opposed to any kind of conversation like that. The ones that are, you can tell, are opposed or, you know, obviously reject that direction, I usually clam up and just ignore it and go on to something else. However, Peter standing in the midst of 3,000 people in the midst of Jerusalem after the baptism of the Holy Spirit certainly didn't concern himself about things like that. He just kept going. So I don't know where to, you know, how to process the whole thing. I do know that, I need to be more open, more forthcoming, and looking for opportunities to present the gospel. I know that there was, what else was I going to say? I don't know if the time that we are in has anything to do with it, because I know that here in this country, it's probably like every other country, quite frankly. There's so much, I guess, prosperity, or, you know, everybody has everything they need type of environment compared to the rest of the world, I would say, or the rest of many sections of the world. And people, it just seems like people are hardened or don't want, you know, are not really interested. Plus our environment, everybody is so stinking busy. You don't have time when you can, you know, sit down or go to the park and talk with people and this and that. It's like you're constantly on the road and constantly moving and going to work and this and that. It's just so, I have to acknowledge that most of what I am saying is excuses. Sounds like excuses. And, I also have that the only limits are not limited. It's not a limitation of the Holy Spirit. It's simply a limitation within me or within, you know, and God has the ability to, give me anything that I need in order to make it happen and obey his word and preach the gospel to all parts, to everyone. So where I go from here, I don't know. I'll just say, Lord, I'm open, and I just pray that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, fill us all with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and get us prepared. Allow us to listen to you, to prepare our hearts and know exactly how you want us to approach evangelism, and cooperate with the Holy Spirit and your work that's being done in the earth today. Lord, we just look to you. Our hearts are open to you. And we just open our hearts and ask you to fill it with your Holy Spirit and the power to do exactly that. And that's to preach the gospel to the masses and cast that bread upon the water and allow it to go out and penetrate people's hearts. And we thank you for it, Lord. Thank you for your Holy Spirit you've given to guide us into all truth. And we just thank you that you are guiding us into the truth of evangelism. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Go ahead, Andrew or Ben.
I forgot to mention the time when Billy Graham came. He gave you booklets and we studied. All the churches were very much involved here. And you're up at the front there on the stage and you're supposed to wait for a person to come down to you. I did get a chance to go over the verses. It's just that he didn't have enough booklets here in Ottawa. And I wanted that booklet because I was going to use it. So I had to give it over to him, but they sent me another one. And that was years ago. But as far as I know, he The weird thing was this. You see, I used to live on Cambridge Street. And when he told me he lived on Cambridge Street, and I said, well, this has got to be an appointment of some sort here, because I lived on Cambridge Street all my life. You're just down the street from him. So he kind of opened up to me when he heard that. And, I went through all the Bible verses and we prayed together. And his girlfriend went up with him. And she was so happy that he received this and said the prayer and everything. I guess she wanted to get her boyfriend saved. We exchanged phone numbers. And because when it's that kind of assembly, you know, and there's so many people, they asked you to do that so that he would call back. And he didn't call back. His girlfriend did and said that he was going to go to her church now, and you don't have to worry about it. And I asked her what church. It was a Pentecostal church. And I said, yeah, I'm out here in the country now, because we lived in the country then. But all my life, I lived on Cambridge. And it was neat. Yeah, his name was Chris. And I know his last name, too. So when the Lord puts it in my head, I pray for that guy, too. So I don't have their phone number anymore. It was one that he wrote down before the phones that we have now. Yeah. Praise God. Glory to God.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for divine meetings. Go ahead, Vanita.
All right. So I wasn't here when you asked the question, but I think I kind of got a gist of what you're asking, how we evangelize and how we share the word, get it out there.
How you
so I guess I
out.
Consider myself more of a seed. Okay. Yeah, I'm more of a seed planter. I just like to kind of let people know where I stand so that, that I believe in Christ and just some of the, like I believe in creation, that he created everything, just the basics. And then, I'm post-trib, that kind of comes up whenever I can throw it in there, and just so that when they get to a point where they finally do have a question, they'll know, oh, Vanita, she said something about that. Maybe I can go ask her about it. And so someday they might have questions and they can come and ask me. But a lot of times it just feels like, we've got a neighbor here that's Catholic, and she talks about the Lord. I talk about the Lord all the time, but she doesn't, want to sit down and talk specifics about anything. So, I'll just keep praying for her. That's mostly it. Just pray for this neighbor that's Catholic and that neighbor that's Baptist and that neighbor over there. I know they go to church. I don't know where though. So just a lot of praying going on over here. I really liked the way that Ray Comfort did it, but I can't think fast enough and keep up with all that. It's fun to watch him and see how he does it, but it's like my mind just can't come up with the questions or all that stuff fast enough. So I'll just leave that to him.
Yeah, and, he used to have a format that you could memorize, kind of how he did it and what step to use, and that's what I did. I just learned the steps, and I'd go up to him and say, same way he did, same way.
Yeah.
Nobody ever got mad.
That's pretty much it.
Nobody ever got mad when I, when we did that. Okay, Pat, go ahead. Thank you, Vanita.
I was reminded of, I was at work. I had a coworker, a young younger person. He was, you know, he was probably in his 20s, or, and I was, you know, I don't know how old I was, maybe in 40, something like that. Anyway, and I got to talking to him about the Lord. And the interesting thing, he was adopted, and I remember telling him that the Lord has a special place in his heart for adopted children. And he just tweaked up with like excitement, you know? And, it's been so long ago. I don't remember exactly all the things that we were talking about and whatever, but I invited him over to the house for a Bible study. And I invited a friend from the church with me as well. And as we were in the room, and I hate to say this, this is a bit of a negative experience, but it was just kind of one of those things that kind of stopped me in my tracks, and it was, but anyway, I'll just explain that we were talking, and I was explaining a few things through the scripture and with this kid, and he was, you could tell he was kind of not like, you could tell his spirit was on the edge of his seat listening to hear, you know, if he could hear the next thing, you know. It was like, I don't know, it's this thing about the adoption really, really keyed him in. But I don't know if my friend was getting a little bit impatient, I guess, and wanted to get this kid across the line, or, you know, whatever it was, he said. But he came out and said, well, listen, you gotta confess your sins. The best way to confess your sins is you need to just list your sins right on a piece of paper. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4. Just go right down and list those sins on the paper, and then just start confessing them to the Lord. And this boy's spirit just closed. You could just see him closing. And that I don't actually know he didn't stay working with our crew very long, but my ability to talk with him after that point was completely closed down. And I'm kind of ashamed to say I don't even remember his name or anything, but the Lord knows the situation. But I have to say that, you know, I kind of put on the skids and kind of went in a different direction, right or wrong. It's kind of the way I went. And I know that the Lord says in his word that in Proverbs, he said that he that winneth souls is wise, something to that aspect. And I realized that the actual term and the process of winning souls, obviously there's more involved in it, but it takes God's wisdom. It takes God's seeing and God's understanding and God's, I'm going to say it takes the Holy Spirit to be able to focus on, to see what the thing is in the spirit that may or may, you know, may be hindering a person from desiring or wanting to hear about the Lord. And I have to say that that was probably about the time that I started, I kind of pulled back on this, you know, man the guns and, you know, let's attack this, this beast and pull it down by the horns. And I started pulling back and seeking the Lord for the Holy Spirit in earnest. And started my approach in that way. And it really, unfortunately, it kind of turned me in on myself as opposed to being outgoing and ready to get the word out. It was, it more or less turned me focused in on myself again. Right or wrong, that's what happened. But anyway, I believe it's time the Lord wants to, you know, bring us out of the shell and fill us with His Spirit. If you've never read, Charles Finney's the revival lectures that he wrote them. It's very, very interesting as far as his approach to evangelism. And it was, you know, of course, I have to say that it was a different time. It was in the 1800s and, you know, before cell phones and text messages and you know, television and all that sort of thing, internet, etc. So we're living in a different time, but we're not living with a different Holy Spirit. But some of the things that he definitely had the power of the Holy Spirit and God's anointing on his life to bring forth that message of salvation and conversion in people. So if you ever get a chance to read that book or listen to some of Charles Finney's stories, they're very encouraging and very enlightening. But anyway, that's all I had.
Okay. All right. George, you got anything you'd like to input on evangelism? He may be busy.
Michael, to whom are you speaking? Sorry.
Yeah, go ahead, Monroe.
Are you speaking to me? Sorry.
Yes, I can now.
Oh, all right. I had the privilege of bringing many of my family the good news of Jesus. And when I was younger, I was more on fire to bring the gospel to random people. I think because I was a bit more social. But as I grew older, I grew less social, and now I mostly speak to people when the Father arranges a meeting, which is not frequent, as I do not go out so often. It's mostly random when the Father arranges a meeting for me. And it's almost always unexpected, like a guy that would be selling sunglasses on the beach or a car guard that is in dire straits. It's usually a very intimate situation, and it starts out very uncomfortable, but Very soon Jesus would take over and my own discomfort would give way to real concern and a care for the person that I'm speaking with. My wife is quite the evangelist and I would often do some subsequent teaching of people to people she evangelized in the form of answering their questions and concerns or pointing people in the right direction. I mostly pray a lot for people and I think that and like Vanita says, just planting the seed of what I believe and then answering the questions when it comes up. And I would like that original fire to return though for all of us. And I pray, Father, that you would ignite that evangelistic fire in all of us again. Amen.
Amen. Light that fire, Lord. I watched a young man yesterday on YouTube, had a amplifier and a microphone that was preaching the word. I don't know where it was, but it looked like it was down in the strip somewhere where there was a lot of nightclubs and stuff. And he had two young ladies that he was ministering to. He was preaching. And he was preaching, and they came up to him, and he started ministering to him, and they came to Christ out there in the streets, and they had a drunk bodyguard, when they inside of a club, and they're supposed to keep peace.
A bouncer,
sir.
Yeah. A floor bouncer. And that's
Trinity.
How long it's been since I've been in there, you know. But anyway, he was drunk and he kept messing with him. And he just turned around and he said, I bind you in the name of Jesus. And off he walked. And but he ministered to that young lady. And she came to Jesus. And he just talked love to her. And, you know, and all of that. It was actually fun to watch. Yeah, I know. All right. Let's see. Barbara, go ahead. Barbara, don't play like you can't hear me. She's probably running back from the kitchen. Barbara. Okay, Cheryl.
Blessings. I can't say that I've ever brought anybody to Christ, but when I'm out and about, if someone says, how are you doing and everything, I'll just say I'm blessed, and then I'll proceed on to talk about what the Lord has done for me, and you know, if they're open to expound on things that's happened to them, or if they're going through things, I pray for them, and so that's about it. I haven't went out trying to, you know, evangelize anybody. I just give them my testimony, and if they're open to it, you know, I know in the past I've probably been a little forceful and wrong, and I've repented and asked the Lord to show me the way. So I kind of, you know, I'm waiting for the Lord to, you know, open the doors and put in my heart how I should do it and what to say.
Amen. Yeah, that's a good way. I tell you, one of the things that when I beat on doors or knock on doors is I'll ask them if they need prayer. Does anybody in the house need prayer? Or if they come to the door and it's pretty obvious they need prayer, you know, I just tell them, I say, the Lord told me to come over here and pray for you. And I'll pray for them. 9 times out of 10, they'll let you pray for them. And I've seen miracles like that too. One time we came up to this lady's, this old lady's house, knocked on the door. I had a preacher with me, Church of God preaching, and knocked on his door, and I could see she had palsy, and she was shaking, you know, like that. And I said, "Can I pray for you?" She said, "Yeah, you can." So I prayed for her, and I told her body, "Body, you be peace, be still, in Jesus' name. And I command this palsy to go from her right now." And before we left there, talking to her, which was just a couple of moments later, she had already stopped the shaking, already. And this lady was probably in her way up in her 80s or 90s even. And that was, you know, you just be bold in it and go up there and do it. I had a preacher, he was a Church of God preacher. He'd never done any of that. And he'd come with me, a young guy, younger than I was. And he was a good friend, actually. He's a musician, great musician. And we did a lot of stuff together. We even had him in his church. We had a couple of old ladies come in there one night. On walkers. They left their walkers there when they left because they could, they run around the sanctuary after we got through praying for them. But yeah, that's, it's, make it fun. Make it from God. You know, I had another preacher with me. It's a black guy and a good friend of mine. And I said, "Come on, you can go with me today. Let's go out and see if we can't find somebody and take them to Jesus." He said, "Okay." And we went through there, and this is over in his neighborhood, and there was a great big guy sitting on a bucket. Oh, forget it. And I went up there and did Ray Comfort on him. Called him a liar and everything else, you know, like Ray Comfort does. But he listened, you know, he listened like most of them do. Most of them listened and participated. And we had a good time with it. And afterwards, I walked away from him. He said, "I ain't never, Michael, has seen nobody do that before and get away with it in this neighborhood." I said, "You got to have the love of Christ with you. You got to have that love with you." I said, and he said, "Especially a white man." I said, "Well, that's that love. It's God's love. It has to be, you know." Okay, because it sure wasn't me. All right, Theo.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, bud.
I'm just sitting here thinking about all the times I shared about the Lord, and you know, usually it's not received. The hardest part was always breaking out of that shell of, you know, just being quiet to myself. And, you know, I don't know if I was embarrassed to speak about it. It wasn't in my comfort zone because I'd never really done it. You know, we were raised in a Christian household and a Christian church. Everybody around us was Christian. Everybody we knew was Christian. Our friends were Christian. And we never really evangelized, right? So breaking out of that shell was a tough thing to do, really. I know non-believers that come to the Lord, man, they can speak about it like it's so easy for them, you know, which is awesome, right? There's so many things that a person that came to Christ later in life benefits from that stagnant Christianity, you know, churchianity, more like does to believers, you know, it's they're kind of more blessed in that way. But one of my favorite stories is this old guy that I ran into in Texas when I was working down at an ethanol refinery doing some projects down there. And he was being really mistreated by the management there. He was in his 70s, I'm sure. He's up there. And he's still working. Very, very unhealthy. Just finished some liposuction and surgeries and just a ton of stuff was done to him. And he was still working, you know, pushing through. And that's how I met him in Texas. And he was in that kind of state. He's an engineer doing something for the ethanol refinery with like the thermal oxidizers and such. And I bump into him and he finds out I'm Russian. He sends me a meme to my number and it's full of curse words. Yeah, he doesn't know that, you know, I was like, hey, thanks for cussing me out, you know? And he was so shocked and apologetic. And he's like, you know, I really didn't mean to do that. I'm so sorry. I was like, hey, dude, no worries. Don't worry about it. And we started getting, you know, friendlier, getting to know each other and talking about all kinds of random stuff. I woke him up to the chemtrail thing. He's like, no, those are contrails. I was like, do some research. And the next time I saw him, I kept going back to Texas for like 3 years and kind of working with him on and off. And he's like, you know what? You're right. There's something up. Anyway, so he got into it really deep right away. He found out about the child trafficking. He saw the, you know, all the conspiracy theories that truth seekers are exposing these days. And, you know, he just really started thinking. He's like, you know, I've not really been a good guy my whole life. You know, he's been in the Catholic Church his entire life. I don't know if you all remember him. This guy was Jim. Jim out of Texas. We prayed for him a few times. Anyway. So when I finally was finishing up in Texas and I was basically not going to see him again. He got sick. What state was that in? You remember what state that was in? I went to visit him.
Uh-huh. Arizona?
Arizona? Mexico. Mexico. I don't know. One of those states. I was all over the United States at that time. But I drove like, I don't know, like 10 hours or something just to go see him at a hospital. And he was just blown away. So I got a witness to him. He thought he was dying and, you know, we just sat together, we talked, and then I went home that same day. and he was just so shocked that I had done that for him. Anyway, so that got him to start talking to us, to Lana and I, because I introduced her to him. And he's like, you know, I was a Catholic my whole life, not really believing. And now I'm getting, you know, he knows he's going to die soon. He just knows it. He's like, but I haven't been, you know, I'm not worthy of heaven. He's like, and he was really shook up about it. And his soul was really troubled about it. So Lana and I, we spent a few evenings just praying with him and talking to him because he kept going in and out of the hospitals. And then one night he's on the phone with us and he's like, I still don't know. I still don't know if I'm, you know, going to heaven. I was like, who do you think gave you the desire to see Christ? And he's sitting there. I was like, it was Christ. Like, you're already his. You don't get the favor of repentance and, you know, the grace to experience what you're experiencing and desire for Christ like you are right now without Christ. It doesn't, no one comes to him, to the Father, unless it's through Christ. You know, like, this is Christ calling you. Man, he lit up. We prayed. Lana prayed for him. She does such great prayers for him. And we said, all right, we love you. Good night. And then I texted him in the morning and then I got nothing back. And then until a few hours later, his wife texted me saying he'd gone on. So that was probably my favorite story of, you know, bringing someone to Christ, somebody that'd been a Catholic his whole life, and he never knew Christ his whole entire life to the last year, maybe 2 years. So, yeah, praise the Lord for that, for giving the courage to bring it up and keep going and keep pushing and not pushing, but just always keeping it on the, you know, on the table, because he was probably scared just as well to bring it up. Today I had a cool story. I was working with a company out in Illinois, and the guy I was talking to on the phone, he sounded young, but we talked about his project and got everything lined out. And we started talking about dieting and like the food industry and what it's doing. And then it just kind of spiraled from there. We ended up talking for 3.5 hours about spirituality, faith, and, you know, he's like a full blown, nope. We can't prove there's a God. Big Bang's real, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I hope I gave him something to think about because, you know, I'm 35 now. He's 23. And the things he's saying right now are the things I would have said maybe, you know, if I was in his shoes. You know, you're so young, you can eat a poor diet and get away with it, you know. And this is a cool conversation. I just pray that the Lord, you know, jostles him up a little bit. Because the thing is, he said that some of his friends are witches and they do weird things and they have their cauldrons and whatnot. And I was like, dude, it's right there in front of you. And you're denying that the spiritual world exists. He's like, oh, no, that's just their hobbies. That's what they like to do. That's their personality. I was like, well, look at the music industry. Look at everything around you. He's like, there's nothing satanic around me. So, you know, this whole time I'm sharing my screen with him because, you know, I have this project plan that I go through with him. So he sees my screen. So I bring up the internet and I start pulling up like the Grammys, you know, and I show him all that stuff. And Beyonce shows up and Oprah and Lady Gaga and all these, you know, videos popping up about exposing the Satanism in the Hollywood industry. And he just kind of sat there, didn't really say much, but he still denied it at the end. He still denied that the spiritual world exists. I was like, if there's so many people worshiping Satan, then God has to exist. Like there's got to be an opposite. That's the law of nature. You know, he believes in science. There's always a plus to the negative. There can't be anything, you know, besides that. So I was like, if there's Satan and there's a bunch of elites, like presidents, Hollywood stars, all these rich people worshiping Satan, then there has to be another side, the opposite side, which is Christianity, believers. So yeah, praise the Lord. He's gonna get jostled a little bit, rattle his cage a little bit, see that, hey, maybe there is something to all this. But yeah, that's how I like to minister to people. I bring up topics that are interesting to them. Like for us, it was dieting, like, you know, the food industry today and the foods that they eat and what's good for you, what's not, right? And then it just kind of leads into, well, you have to eat clean because, you know, your body's a temple. You know, you have to just keep it healthy. The Lord will take care of you, but, you know, don't put poison in your body if you don't have to. But no, you got to experience it all. You got to drink alcohol. You got to drink that. Keep poisoning your body, you know. And I was like, you know, it's not a sin. It's not explicitly a sin, right? I mean, even NyQuil has alcohol, but it is, you know, pharmakia. So, well, you know, take your pick. Anyway, we had a lot to talk about. So praise the Lord. He's going to find the Lord. And he's only 23. He's got a long way to go. And Lord, thank you for using him in your kingdom.
Amen.
Yeah, that's kind of how I like to share the Lord, but it just comes naturally. If it doesn't come naturally, I don't really push the subject.
Yeah.
It's kind of how the Spirit leads.
Amen. Thank you, Theo. That was awesome. Go ahead, Julie.
Just in here, listen to everybody. I'm just impressed to say that I believe, and I think everyone may agree with that, but you know, the Lord's going to bring each of us individually, people will be able to relate to in some capacity. Because I couldn't have said to, you know, what Theo just said to somebody like that, you know, just because God knows everything about everybody. He's, you know, he'll bring you people that you'll be able to minister to.
You're right. We each have individual groups that we can minister to easily. Yeah. That's great, Theo. Thank you for that. Go ahead, Joe.
I remember, I better tell about my bad experience before I tell my good experience, but I'm not sure how long ago. I was handing out UBM tracks at the Let me first say this. Lord gave me vision about going to the mall or whatever and handing out tracks and talk to people, evangelize. And it was been long on my heart to do something that was I never comfortable. I'm like to talk to family and think about the Lord, but not the strange people. But first, when I get there, I handed a few tracks, but I got some few I don't want to just get away from me, or okay, I'll do that. You got different reactions of different people, so that was fine by me. The more the day go on, the more scared I got, because the people's almost negative. Almost everybody was, I'm busy with my own stuff. Just leave me alone, or what? That's what I feel. Let's put it this way. At the end of the day, I was so scared. I'm not. I know I have to do it. I have to bring the Lord's message out. And that day go by and I go at night. The next day I try again. And it was even worse. So that puts me off for a while. Put me off for a while about going evangelism. That's why I said, I think I once talked to you, Michael. Afterwards, I pray about this. And the experience I got so much, so scared. Well, I think I got the demon there scared demon of getting out to talk to people and things. But on one evening when I talked to you, while I was talking to you, you commanded the demon to leave me. I'm not sure if you can remember that, but that was just my bad experience. And afterwards, one morning I was praying and the Lord gave me a vision of a street corner close to my home and a trolley with a big bag and a person standing there. I see it clearly. I was getting ready and I finish up and I walk, and that was exactly what the Lord told me. And that was my good experience. I get to buy him some food. He was a street guy. I get in to buy some food and talk about the Lord. So I spent quite a couple of hours with him, I think. And then I pray for him, I think. So that was my good experience about the Lord showed me. The most important thing that the Lord showed me is you have to be led. You have to not go by your own way. If you go your own way, you're getting scared. You're doing it in the flesh. That's why it's not working. You have to wait for the Lord and ask the Lord to show you, to direct you, for giving you experience of if the Lord's with you, it's going to work out. If it's not with you, it's not going to work out. That was my last experience. But the other one is my son. I got a dream a couple of years ago about him, about a dream about doing something not legal. And I gave him the dream, but the Lord gave me to warn him. And he prayed about it, and it works quite out well, and it almost worked out exactly as the dream I got. So we never talked to him about that again. So I just leave it like that. And well, 2 weeks ago, he talked to me. Well, he started the conversation again about flat earth and things. That's why when I started now to show him the real gospel. So I'm waiting for the Lord to give me a next step. So that's all I want to say. Thanks. I hope you can understand what I said.
Absolutely, man. I understood every word of it. Praise God. You're getting so good at this Arkansas language, Joe. Amen. Or either that, or I'm getting good at understanding you. Yeah. Okay. Let's see. Josie, do you have an experience with evangelism that you'd like to discuss with us? Okay. How about you, Barbara?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. Sorry, I'm kind of in a battle right now. Evangelism. I basically just, I don't know, talk about like my testimony, what the Lord has done for me. And I used to pass out tracts a long time ago, but I really didn't even know the gospel until I came to UBM. I didn't have the full understanding in the churches I was in of the real gospel. And other than, you know, Christ died on the cross for us. And, I knew we weren't supposed to stay in our sins like they taught. I mean, I knew he didn't save us for us to stay in our sins. I just knew there was more to it than that, but I didn't understand it enough to be able to really evangelize in that regard back then. And it wasn't until I came to UBM, that I understood the full gospel. But basically, I just give my testimony to people around me whenever I'm around anybody. But that's it. I mean, there's nothing spectacular or anything like that.
Okay, Barbara, thank you. That was good. Hey, George, are you listening? Okay. Can I address something here? I saw Joe when he's saying you have to be led by the Spirit. When he says in Mark, and I'm not getting on you, I'm just going to point out some things here. When he says in Mark 16:15, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Is that not the Lord's command? That's the Lord's command. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. And I say that because a lot of times you are led by the Spirit to go talk to some certain person. The Lord had me go up to, what's the name of that? Kind of like Home Depot, but it was another kind of a place like that where they sold lumber and hardware stuff. He said, go up there. I want you to go pray for somebody. So I went up there and I was led by the Spirit of God. He told me to go up there. So I went up there and this man come out in a wheelchair and I saw him, an older guy, and I saw him. The Lord said, that's him. So I went over to him and I asked him, I said, sir, can I pray for you? And I was fixing to put my hands on him. He said, you get your hands off of me and get away from me. I said, whoa, what is this? And so I tucked my tail between my legs and I went back to the truck and I said, Lord, what is this? You know, I said, I don't understand this. I said, why did you come up here? Why did you have me come up here to pray for this guy? And I heard distinctly, he said, I wanted to give him one more chance. Now that was very telling to me. But yeah, you can be led by the Spirit a lot of times, but it is also a command to go out and take the gospel to people. Yeah, Joe.
Yeah, that reminds me of, well, that tell me the guy I talked to on the street there. I don't think it was a couple of hours. It could be just 1 hour. I'm not sure, but that's just a correction. But my question now, just for interest sakes now, is I got that vision for that morning to go out and handing out tracts. But the thing about that now is I did go out. I put some UBM tracts and somehow I got scared. I'm out of my comfort zone. Let me put it this way. Just talk it plainly. I'm out of my comfort zone. I'm just giving out tracts. Well, some people take it, some not. And I just, the more they go on, more uncomfortable I'm feeling. So the next day I go out again. but what I'm saying is it led by the Lord is that was my experience that 2 days. It was scary. So in other words, I didn't, the vision was, I'm sure it was from the Lord, but that was not for that day. It was prepared because that late that evening, I did talk about the Lord. I prayed about this. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I know I have to go out and talk about you and all this, but people don't listen, and I'm not sure, and I'm scared. I'm not feeling comfortable about it. Then the Lord gave me a vision of a person with a cell phone in his hand, lifting his cell phone up. And that was for me to say, that was the Lord was saying to me is, call me first before you go out. That was just call me. The cell phone in hand was me to say is, call me. That was what I said to led by the Lord. Lord, lead me that day. I'm not sure it's all that. Of course, Lord leads you every day. Yeah. But that was just an experience of, that was scary. It was really out of my comfort zone. I know I had to do it. I talk about a lot about it on the outreach. I have to go and do it. I have to do it. But it's more of a fleshly thing when Lord led. That's why I'm getting scared. But now I'm more comfortable talking about people, giving me attraction. So it's more, the Lord gave me more comfortable now, for now on, when I used to have. Yeah. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. I remember the story, and I'm trying to, I think it was in Australia. I believe that's where it was. And this guy that had a store downtown, one of those Australian towns, and he would sit out there and he would hand out tracts all the time. He handed out tracts for years and years and never knew if anybody got saved or not. And then one day, this guy came to him and asked him what his name was. And he told him, he said, I want to tell you a story. He said, have you ever heard of this guy? He said, yeah, he's a great preacher. He said, have you ever heard of this guy? Oh, yeah, he is a great teacher. And he went down the line of all of these great men of God. And he told him, he said, every one of them were saved by your track. They'd walk by his store, and he'd hand them a track, and they'd read it. And every one of them came to Christ because of it. And it really blessed him. You know, he never knew the whole, he was an old, old guy. He was almost going home when he found out this information from this one guy. Because this one guy got a tract from him. And he had gone to a conference. And a couple of those men were in there, and they told the same story that he had. And so he looked and he checked with a bunch of more. And this man had given tracts, and people gotten saved from it that were high up in the church world. So, you know, you never know. When you hand out a tract, you don't know. How many of you handed out a bunch of tracts? I have. I've handed out thousands of them. I know y'all have, too. Yeah. But you don't know who you have affected when you give the gospel out. They may cuss you now, and then sometime later, they'll come to Christ because of what you told them. So you can't go by what you think. It's the Spirit of God with you that brings them in, you know. You pray like I do. You pray, Lord, I ask that you grant repentance to them. You know, I don't know how many people came to Christ. That's right, Judy. God watches over his word. So it's, if you just want to go out and hand out, I used to put up with them Dick Chick things all over the place. They were great tools for evangelism. You can, I don't know if you can still buy them or not, but you used to get, I used to buy them by the 500 at a time, you know. Yeah, Judy.
I was going to say, I remember this one woman that, that I was in church with, and she would have tracts. And a lot of times when we go out to leave, go out to lunch or something like that, or dinner or whatever, we go someplace. She told me, she goes, we're going to leave this tract here. We're going to pray over it. So we would leave it for like the waitress, or, you know, maybe she wouldn't see, the waitress wouldn't see it, but it might be the person who's at that table next or something. Or she would leave them in the bathroom at a certain place in the bathroom because somebody would stumble across in the bathroom, you know, some public place or whatever. It's, you know, it's however God wants to use that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, if he's putting the idea in your mind, you know, he'll do something with it.
Yeah. I used to go in the Walmart parking lot, fold them up, and put them in the handle of the car where they put their hand on it and bring it out. Yeah, I did that a lot. Just hand them out all over the place. Stop, get gas, and leave one there at the gas pump in the handle. Yeah, Joe. By the way, let me say this. We have tracks on site that you can print out and cut out and use that we made up here that goes along with some of the books. I don't know where they are on it, but I know they are there because I've used them. Yeah, Joe.
That is a good topic, Michael. I just want to talk about that now. It's on, if you get on the UVM site, on the left-hand side, all the links, based tracks, so you can just go there. But my question now is, what I'm asking you for advice or direction, I need that real good news one. I need to make, I'm asking if I can make, I can copy it to my site and just make a few corrections on it. Well, not correction for South Africa because UVM cell phone number and everything in there. And I just want to give a message as about the real good news because they cannot from here phone America too. So I want to take that pieces off. Is it possible that I can do that?
Sure. Whatever works.
Yeah.
Get the word out. That's right. Absolutely, you can. Make it on your own, though. Don't do it on. I don't think you can on the site. Yeah, Julie.
I just wonder if maybe that's something you can ask Brandy, Michael, because it's probably something that he has to do on his end, I would think.
Well,
I don't know. Or get him a copy of it that he can modify. Get Joe a copy he could modify.
Well, it's all in PDF, isn't it?
I don't know. Is it, Joe?
Yeah, it's in PDF. Yeah, you can copy and paste into Word and make the corrections. Yeah, that's the way I always did it.
Yeah, that's what I was just talking about. I started a one and just copied that almost exactly. Just took out that few cell phone number. And I'm thinking something else, but everything was same. So I just make up my own copy in Word. Oh, well, now in Word, it's watching Word. Yeah, I make myself a copy in this, but just ask for permission. That's what I'm asking you. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just for your own use, isn't it?
I can do it. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, I want to go out and distribute it now when I need someone. Well, I met people, but I need to get tracks to get something out. That's what I think is the best thing. That's a good, real good news. But once it's also applicable, but the real good news is a good one to get people's attention.
Yeah, that is a good one. I like that one myself. All right. Anybody else? on evangelism. It's been a good topic. Let me think here just a minute. I was thinking about something else a while ago. I'll tell you what. When you go out and you find somebody that's walking with a cane, you can go up and ask if you couldn't pray for them. And then ask them, you know, well, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? And have you repented and come to the Lord? All of that. And they'll most of the time, they'll be honest with you. But sometimes they won't. I had one time. But early on when I was doing it, started when I was out on the streets, I come up to this man and I was talking to him. I said, are you a Christian? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. I said, what church you go to? Now, I know where I live. I know where all the churches are. And he said, that one over there. I said, what's the name of it? He gave me a name and it was the wrong one. I said, oh, okay. All right, brother. But yeah, that devil will lie a lot sometimes. And when you walk away from him, you start praying for him. Be bold also. I know Lake did this a couple of times. He'd ask him, he said, now, if the Lord heals you, are you going to, will you accept him as your Lord and Savior and repent and come into the kingdom of God? And they'd say, yeah. And the Lord would be true to his word. When they'd do that, they'd always get healed. They'd always get healed. Now, I never was bold enough to do that. Now I am. I can do it now because I know God will do it. Yeah, he does. He watches over his word. All right. Anybody else on experiences with evangelism? I really enjoyed that. When I was doing it on the streets, after a fashion, it took a while to get comfortable with it. As y'all know, it takes a while to get comfortable with it. But when I learned healing, it was over. It was over. I had somebody fixing to get saved. The gifts are really nice to evangelize with. And we all have it. Yeah, Pat.
Michael was. I don't remember now. Ray Comfort's. Is he an in your face type of approach? Is that it his approach?
I think I can remember some of it. I'll give you an example of some of his stuff is what he said to him. He said, you go up to him and you ask him if they're a Christian. And if they say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. And then he'll say, well, do you mind if we test and see if you are a Christian? Something similar to that. I don't remember what the exact words were. But they say, okay. And then he'd go and he'd ask them, have you ever stolen anything? And they'd say, oh, yeah. Well, have you ever had sex outside of marriage? Oh, yeah. Have you ever looked at a woman with lust? Yeah. And he'd go down through a bunch of them, seven or eight of them. And then he came back and he'd say, well, what you've just told me is that you're a lying, thieving, you know, fornicator, and he like that, just to get their attention and show them where they were in the kingdom. And he would just it was not an in your face kind of a deal, but it was a reality check, I'd say, for them. And he was very successful with that type of approach. And to be honest with you, I saw a number of people saved that way too. It's a proven method that he has used. Now there's some things that he does that I don't approve of now, but back then they were. If you ever listened to him, have you ever listened to him, Pat?
Yes. Once you mentioned that, I do remember that. I think he went through the Ten Commandments or something like that.
Yeah.
But yes, yeah. I do remember. And it is a kind of the same approach that Finney used, because
who?
Finney.
Oh, Finney.
Charles Finney.
Yeah, yeah.
Because Charles Finney, obviously, his background was a lawyer. You know, he was a legal, you know, a lawyer, basically, is what it was. And so he, I think, was fairly heavy in the law, I guess that you might say it that way.
Yeah.
And he used a lot of the law in order to bring people's awareness of their own, you know, sinfulness. I think that's the only thing you can say. And I'm going to say that in that time, he definitely had the anointing of God on him, because that word was so blessed when he... But he always started with the law, coming from the law perspective, and brought people to repentance, however the Lord led. And he had some miraculous, even though this was, shall we say, before the gifts of the Spirit and miracles that, you know, in this was back in the mid 1800s. And he would walk through, I guess in those days, they would, when he came to town, there's stories of they wouldn't even go to the church. He would come into town and he would, the factory manager or owner would have him come to the factory and preach a message there in his factory. Of course, that would never happen today without many lawsuits. But, and there are stories of him walking into the factory and going towards the meeting room and people just being smitten with the Spirit of God and falling on their face, you know, on the floor as he's going by, type of thing. And obviously it wasn't him, but it was the anointing of the Holy Spirit at that time. And so I think that there's, in my opinion, I believe there's kind of a twofold message, a twofold thought that I'm going, that I'm kind of kicking over. And that is, number one, as I've listened to everyone speak here, every one of us have kind of the same testimony. And that is a testimony of, we're trying to go out and speak, but there's been a great, I'm going to say, rejection or a very disinterested response in the majority of people that we've hit, and we've kind of tempered our approach and tempered our messages or you know, we're waiting for the opportunity or whatever. And there's that aspect of where we're at now and where, and I believe that God's answer to that is, number one, he is going to make society and our culture receptive, number one. He's going to make society receptive and looking towards the possibility of God in their life. And he's going to prepare his people to be able to present, to be able to have that boldness through the anointing or whatever else. And I think there's a kind of a twofold thing that that God is preparing for us. And again, I don't say this as saying, you know, I'm excused or we're excused for not promoting, for not going out and evangelizing, for not doing all these things. But I also say that God is preparing us in more ways than one, in preparing society and the world to receive it. I guess I'm thinking back there also when Jesus said, look to the fields, for they are already white to harvest. So maybe it's time that I look to the fields and start refocusing my attention upon exactly that, bringing in the harvest. So as a matter of fact, instead of maybe thinking about it, I'll just say, that's what I intend to do, and we'll see where God takes me, and you as well. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. What's the name of that sermon? Is either Finney or Newton? Don't fall into the hands of an angry God or something like that. Does anybody remember that?
That was Whitfield, George Whitfield.
Yeah, you're right. Okay, thank you.
The
great video. That's a great audio.
Yeah, I've never actually heard it, but that's what falling in the hands of an angry God. That's something out of Hebrews, I think, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh my, it's
wasn't that?
It's fire and brimstone.
What's the story behind that? Oh, I guess it's 10 o'clock already. So
he had a lot of people come to Jesus back then over that sermon. He used it over and over and over again, and many people came to Jesus because of it, because that type of sermon was needed back then. They were you know, a bunch of radicals. I don't know why we don't use that. If you read it, you'll understand what I'm saying. It's a good sermon for a radical. Okay, well, we're out of time. Man, I enjoyed it. Yeah, Julie?
I was thinking, I know I have a copy of it saved on my computer, but I wonder if it might be like in Sermon Index.
It's actually in audio, too, on YouTube.
Yeah.
Who is that strange person coming in here?
It's pretty popular.
Yeah, sinners in the hands of an angry God. That's it, man. Hey, Nick, how's it going, buddy?
Good.
Awesome. You getting off of work?
Yep.
Awesome. I hope you worked hard. You work. You headed home to get something mama's eating, huh?
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. Well, folks, we're out of time. It's good to see you again, Nick.
Yeah.
I'll be glad when you'll be able to join us again.
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you got to come down for pot blessing that Saturday.
I know. That's what I told my mom.
Now, there you go, buddy. That's right. Good. Yeah. What was it? Angelica said, called it, she called it Sunshine Mountain, the Miracle Mountain or something like that. Where miracles happen. That's what she said, I think. Yeah. Yeah, we decided to have it up here. David wanted to have it up here. Get everybody to see how it's going to look. Where miracles happen, yeah. So, great. Well, all right. Lord, we thank you for tonight. I praise you, Father, that you put boldness in everybody when the chance arises to speak up and get the gospel out. And we praise you for it, Father. Glory be to God, because we'll find out one day how many people this, that we have affected because of it. And I praise you, Father. Glory be to God. If it's not anything but just handing out tracts, that's awesome. That's really awesome. That's what that one man did down in Australia, and he affected a lot of people's heart. And Father, we just praise you and glorify you for all that you're doing in each and every one of us. Be with us. Let everybody get a good night's sleep or a good day's work, what it's going to be. And I praise you for it, Father. And we praise you about this wonderful time that we're coming into. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Amen. Well, good night, y'all. See you later.